Thank you. We're joined as usual by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Scott McKay is away this week. Filling in for him is WPRI.com digital reporter Dan McGowan. Hi there, Dan.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest, Chairman of the Providence City Council Finance Committee, John Igliosi, who represents the Silver Lake and Hartford sections of the city. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and good morning, everybody.
The month-long impasse over Rhode Island's state budget is over. The state Senate agreed to vote on the House version of the budget, and the House addressed the Senate concern about phasing out the car tax. Plans call for the state to start issuing reports in 2021 about whether that phase-out is sustainable. John Igliosi, let's start with you. How has Providence been impacted, if at all, by this budget impasse?
Well, it's definitely the budget is a positive thing for the city of Providence. We get additional school money, approximately $14 million, plus also we get car tax relief. Those two elements of the budget is just immediate positive impact for the people of Providence.
And there was no adverse impact from the impasse and how the state was operating for a while under last year's budget?
Well, you know, we luckily planned for some of this, and we had enough in the reserves to handle this type of issue, but not long-term.
Maureen, who do you see as the winners and losers in this budget standoff?
Well, I think it's hard to say because my theory is it really wasn't about the car tax. I think this was gratuitous, and they were hiding behind some rivalry between the House and Senate. And so what I assume is, and I think the debate was about all those bills that come up at the end and they're left in limbo. Once the budget is signed, the speaker has the upper hand. So I assume what happened is some sort of negotiation that will do something to remedy that last minute rush, what bills get left in limbo, you know, who has control over the last minute. That's my theory. And in that sense, I think this is just window dressing.
Dan, the mayor of Providence, Jorge Elorza, had warned about some pretty severe consequences if this budget impasse dragged on. What's your take on the fallout for Providence and the winners and losers from this stalemate?
You know, I think if this had gone on, if we were talking about going into November or December, Providence would have had real problems. I think the mayor was not lying when he said that there was a potential for, I think he said 170 layoffs, but that was down the line. This was definitely an attempt to kind of sound the alarm before he had to do any of that. It's a good thing for Providence to have the budget done as soon as possible. You're going to get that money, that school money that Chairman Igliosi talked about. So I think that's a good thing. I mean, clearly on its face, the House picks up the victory, at least initially. The car tax gets to be in there and with very limited changes to it. So I think at least initially that the speaker wins. But going forward, I mean, the Senate had real concerns about how to pay for this thing going forward. I think that's going to be a concern every year.
Let's switch gears and talk about a big story in the news this week. President Trump wants to cut legal immigration to the U.S. by half by reducing the ability of American citizens and legal residents to bring over family members. Chairman Igliosi, what's your sense of how this would affect people here in Providence?
Well, you know, that issue is a very important issue for the people of Providence. And I've had numerous conversations about this. And I always said kind of just the opposite, which was, everybody talked about building a wall. I said instead build mini Statue of Liberties all along the border and create welcome centers and just processing centers and get have the ability to bring people in, process them, give them the opportunity to acquire, a better standard of living, but also have them part of the system and paying the taxes. So I think it's just a little bit the opposite. Create a better processing system, pour money into that. And then you have it's more organized and has more beneficial for everybody.
Dan McGowan, we saw how Mayor Elorza used to deny that Providence was a sanctuary city. Then Donald Trump got elected president, and Mayor Elorza now says that Providence is a sanctuary city. That seems to be playing with his constituency in a big way, right?
Yeah, right. They're both kind of playing the same game, just to different constituencies. On the president's side, obviously, cutting immigration, going after illegal immigration, that plays very well well to his pretty conservative base. It played well throughout the campaign last year. On the mayor's side, the mayor looked at an opportunity to say, I'm going to be a very sort of hardcore supporter of immigrants. And remember, that doesn't just play well to the large Latino base in Providence. It also plays well to liberals on the east side of Providence. That message sounded good. That's why they did it.
Maureen, I think it was the Washington Post that reported that under the president's proposal, one of his ancestors would have been precluded from coming to the U.S. Little irony there?
Yes, indeed. Fortunately, though, this thing is going nowhere. I mean, the consensus is this is really red meat for his base. That is, he's losing support. Generally, he's losing support of Republicans in the Congress. And I think this is a way to put something out there to shore up his base, because he's losing ground on so many fronts. I think this is a sort of a desperate attempt to pull some more, hold his coalition together.
We're drawing a little short on time here, but we want to ask Chairman Igliozzi about Mayor Olorza, who is heading into the 2018 election season with almost $500,000 in his campaign account and no announced challengers. Has the mayor been effective in taking on the city's most important challenges?
I think the mayor has a lot of wins, and there's some issues that he still has to address. We're finishing the city with finishing the budget again with another surplus. We did a balance another 3 years in a row, no tax increases across the board. We are going into, and looks like our bond rating is going to get better. We're issuing another $45 million worth of infrastructure improvements throughout the city. So there's a lot of good positive stuff. The outstanding issue, and this is something that's a legacy and will continue on, is the pension reform. The city's pension system is $1 billion unfunded, and that's an everyday conversation that has to happen no matter what the financial talk is.
How does the city get a better handle on that?
You know, first of all, we talked about in the past, one of the things I think the city did make a mistake was when they agreed to a five-year contract with the firefighters, first time ever. And the state law says that you can only issue three-year contracts with collective bargaining agreement unions. And you only can do the exception of 5 years if your city's in serious pension crisis. Well, the city meets that criteria, but the spirit of the law is all about a give and take. We'll give you 5 years, you give us pension reform. But the city never required or asked for pension reform. So now the city has basically given up on pension reform for the next decade.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Dan McGowan from WPRI.com.
Thank you.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And the chairman of the Providence City Council's Finance Committee, John Igliozzi.
Thank you very much.